Romans chapter 12, the title of the message this morning, Giving Gifts. Giving Gifts, verse number 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Gifts. All of us like to receive gifts. I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that. I like to receive gifts, but I think most of us like to receive gifts. It's interesting, though, when we're talking in the context of church, there's almost like, well, I don't want too many gifts because then I'm going to be expected to do too much, you know. And sometimes we feel like a little bit of pressure as to, well, what is my gift? And I would say, of course, perhaps you've gone through like a gifts assessment, a spiritual gifts kind of process. The Bible talks about gifts in a number of places. Here in Romans, it talks about gifts in 1 Corinthians. There's just a number of places where gifts are mentioned in the Bible and gifts given to us by God. And so we think maybe there's some big kind of flash of light and a bolt of lightning that says, okay, you've received your gift, now exercise it. And I would just say sometimes I think we put too much pressure on ourselves and we don't recognize the gifts that God has given to us the day we were born. And we've been certain ways all along. And the Spirit of God in us when we come to know Christ empowers us in those gifts. The interesting thing is there are some of us that just naturally are encouragers. Naturally just walk up along beside of somebody and they see what they're doing well and they see positive things happen and they encourage. There are some of us that naturally we give financially. I know maybe that's hard to believe, but there are actually some people who think, oh man, I want to give to help that need or to meet the need of the church or what. And there are people that's naturally what they do. There are people that naturally lead others. There are people that naturally organize other people's lives and events. I looked for my wife, but she wasn't here right now. But see, you know who you are if you naturally organize other people. Cynthia, thank you. Honestly, see, you notice the kind of people I have surrounding me, my wife and Cynthia, they're like, man, Pastor Terry, you must know you need to be organized. Believe me, I know, okay? I know. So, but there are people that naturally do that, and you naturally, we all naturally do something well. And I would just say, we need to really stop worrying so much about, God, what is my spiritual gift? And start exercising the gifts that God has already placed in you. Because He will empower you by His Spirit as you just be the person He created you to be. Now, that's not to say that there won't be moments, there won't be events in life, there won't be times that God does something literally, supernaturally to express a gift in your life and through you to do something. Pardon me. It may be that you never go to somebody and say, this is what I really believe the Lord said to me to tell you. You may never do that, but there may come a day that God asks you to do that. That God asks you to actually step out of your normal kind of pattern and do something differently. You see, because God's the one who gives gifts. But He gives gifts to us for a purpose, and He wants to use those gifts through us. He doesn't give gifts so that we could selfishly hold on to them or hoard them to ourselves. You know, when you talk about gifts and you talk about this idea, okay, God, you've given me this, but the expectation is, God, you want me to do this, or you would never have given me this gift. So somehow it's not just giving to us, it's for a purpose of giving through us to others. And the interesting thing is that maybe you have some kind of reaction to that statement that I just gave. Because I grew up in church, in Pentecostal church all my life. My earliest days, I have a faded mimeographed copy framed in my office of the bulletin when my dad was the pastor 4 days after I was born, welcoming me to service. Now, you can't read it anymore because it was that old blue mimeograph and it's just gone. I've got the printed parts of it, but none of the in-between parts are there. But I know what it says. And so from the time I was literally 4 days old, I've been in Pentecostal church. And there were days growing up that you had to kind of think to yourself, and people in the congregation thought to myself, as somebody would give a message in tongues and interpretation, or as somebody would give a prophetic word, or as somebody would do something that the First Corinthians talks about that is often exercised in the midst of the gathering of the body of Christ, sometimes you'd think, I think they're just doing that to draw attention to themselves or to get attention. Sometimes the message that came, you'd go, oh, that is one of the weirdest things I have ever heard in my life. And you just think, nah, that can't be all right. And sometimes you go, well, maybe that has been something that you've pushed back and said, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. And so this whole God through us, giving gifts to be through us, maybe our own experience in life has pushed us away from saying, I'm not going to let that happen to me. Nobody's going to be thinking that stuff of me. It is true also when you read this, it says, those who prophesy, prophesy according to the measure of their faith. I think sometimes our faith is kind of small in these kind of things too. Like we say to ourselves, man, God has put a word in my heart or a word in my mind, and it's just words I don't understand. I don't want to speak in tongues in front of everybody, and so the faith isn't quite that large. You know, or maybe it's even words we understand, and it's a prophetic word to the congregation, and we feel like God wants me to say this, but Pastor Terry's going to be upset with me if I do it, or people are going to look at me and think that I'm a little strange, or I'm just drawing attention to myself. I can't do that. So there is a measure of faith that's required in order to express ourselves, especially publicly. I will say this. We were in a prayer tour with the network leadership. Last Thursday was our Portland Metro. We're part of Portland Metro. You know, you didn't know that, but we aren't really, but we are. So anyway, our Portland Metro region, I'm the leader in terms of all the churches in the Portland Metro region. So I went down there to meet with the pastors, and probably met with about 30 of them in two different meetings, and the network leaders from the head office down in it's Kaiser now, down in Kaiser, they came up to meet with us. So there were a team of about five of us from that represented the network leadership, and we would gather, and then we'd meet with, the first meeting was like 29 of us, the next meeting was 14 or 15, something like that. And so we beforehand, we got together, and Pastor Bill, who is the network lead pastor, he says, I really would like to just say that if anybody has a word, we want to be able to speak into these pastors' lives. So as we pray, we lay hands on each pastor, we'd pray, and then maybe some would give a word. Well, in the second meeting, I was praying over a young pastor who I will not mention by name, but young pastor and his wife, and they're planning a church down in Portland area, and Pastor Bill asked, what can we pray for you about? And he says, well, we've got a lot of young families in our area. We'd really like to be able to reach them for Jesus and all those kind of things. So he asked me if I would lead the prayer over them. So I go up, lay hands on them. I'm praying for them, and I pray for all the spiritual children that God's going to birth into their life. And in my spirit drops, you're not just praying for spiritual children right now. But I didn't say anything about that right then. So I finished my prayer, and all, we'd finished the whole prayer meeting, right? And I hadn't said a word about what I felt like God had dropped into my spirit. And I couldn't walk away from it. So I walk up to him afterwards, and I said, I just have to tell you that as I was praying, I wasn't praying just for spiritual children. I think this is going to be a year that your life's going to change. And he received it very well. Thank you. I was so happy that he received it. It's like, no, I don't want that. Am I? No, it wasn't like that. It was like, wow, cool. Thank you so much. See, those are the things you just don't know how people are going to respond. But you have a word that's dropped into your heart to say to somebody else, and you think, what do I do with it? Do I just keep it to myself and wait to see and watch? But that's not really how the body of Christ is designed. You see, when you read in the Bible about the body of Christ and all the gifts that are given, gifts given by God to us, they're given for a person to be purpose to be given through us to others. And the body of Christ is designed not that Pastor Terry or the board members or the other pastors, not that we would do all of that kind of stuff. Every word that comes to this church shouldn't come through my mouth. Every word that comes to this community shouldn't come through only the leadership of this church. God has built the body so that we who teach, we who pastor, we who lead, that we would build up the body of Christ, that we would teach, we would energize, we would help in growth the body of Christ. The body of Christ is all of us, so that the body of Christ might do the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? The work of the ministry is prophesying, is teaching, is exhorting, is giving, is leading, is showing mercy, is all of these kind of things. That's the body of Christ. And the gifts of God are given to all of us so that we as the body of Christ would express those gifts and make a difference, not only in the life of this congregation, but also in our community. See, we are to use the gifts that God has given us. God uses them through us to make a difference in people's lives. So I would just say, let faith rise in your heart. And when you know the gift of God is in you, then express that gift. There was an old Nike slogan. I don't even know if they still use it, because 99% of the shows I watch on TV, I DVR and fast forward through the commercials. So I don't know if they still use this slogan, but it used to be Nike was always, just do it. Right? Just do it. Now, I would say at some level that there's a part of us that we need to see more expression of the gifts of God through us in the life of this church and through this church to our community. But we need that. Because according to 1 Corinthians, it says the gifts of God are given for the building up, for the edification of the body of Christ. Also as a sign to the unbeliever, right? Those are the two reasons that the gifts of God are given. Now, some of those gifts are verbal gifts. Sometimes there may be somebody. Don't freak out if it happens, folks. There may be somebody while they're sitting right here in this congregation go, I can't stand it. And they say something in tongues. And none of us understand except one person in the room. And that one person in the room, when he or she's listening to the tongue, says, I know what God's saying right now. And after the person is done speaking in tongues, then that person who understood says, this is what God said. It's called the gifts of tongues and interpretation. It's to be used in the public gathering of the believers. And it's as a sign to the unbeliever and as an edification for the body of Christ. And it's something we shouldn't be afraid of. We shouldn't be afraid to even experience. Maybe we would be used in that way, but faith's going to have to rise because none of us wants to look foolish. Right? Or maybe a prophetic word comes, because Paul says in that same chapter where he talks about speaking in tongues with interpretation and all these kind of things, Paul says, you know what? The gift of prophecy, I'd rather have that happening. Honestly, because I'd rather speak five words in a language everybody understands than 1,000 in a language that people don't understand. So to be honest with you, though I value tongues and interpretation, honestly, prophecy is the stronger gift, because everybody understands right from the beginning what God is saying to us. But either one is welcome in our congregation. I'm going to tell you right now, either one of those is welcome here. Okay? But in order for you to be exercised those gifts, faith is going to have to rise up. Because it's one thing to walk to the threshold and say, I know you want me to do it, God. And it's another thing to step over. Okay? But God gives gifts, and God uses those gifts through us. Now, it's interesting that we place lots and lots and lots and lots of value on those verbal gifts. It seems like if you grew up in Pentecostal church, you almost measure whether or not the Spirit's alive in your church, whether there's prophetic words or tongues and interpretation. But can I tell you that there are lots of other gifts that need to be expressed? Gifts of knowledge. When you walk, like, that's what I was talking about with the young man that I had prayed with, the young couple that I had prayed with. That was a gift of knowledge. In my mind, I'll know exactly when a baby's born. But in my mind, that was the gift of knowledge, that God is going to bless that family with a child this year. All right? But God uses those things to encourage us. I always say, when somebody comes up to you with the gift of knowledge to say, this is what I think the Lord is saying to you, that's 99.9% of the time given as confirmation, not as initial groundwork. Okay? Don't let somebody determine the direction of your life based on what they said God is saying to you. Let God say it to you, and then let Him confirm it through other voices. All right? Through us. You know, there's lots of gifts that are here and lots of gifts that I didn't mention, but there's lots of them. And let God use us. I don't know that there's anything more satisfying, honestly, than to know God has spoken through you, or God has done something through you, or God has given through you, gave you monies that you didn't expect, and you say, oh, this is the Lord's, I'm giving it to Him. Gave you understanding that you didn't have before, and you use that understanding to build somebody else's life. Gave you mercy for somebody that everybody else was rejecting, and put mercy into you, and you know that it was God helping you in that. I don't know that there's anything more satisfying than knowing that the gift that God has placed in you, He is using to touch somebody else's life. It's an immensely satisfying experience. Last thing I'll say before we go to the communion table, and that is that we exercise all of these gifts with cheerfulness. I recognize at this point in time it talks just show mercy with cheerfulness, but the truth is that God loves cheerfulness. You can read in I'm not going to tell you the text because right now it evades me. But you can read in the Bible that we are supposed to know how we're supposed to give. And it goes on to say, as you give, God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? We are supposed to know that in the process of exercising any gift, of doing anything for the Lord, that everything we do even, that we're supposed to do as unto the Lord. So whether that's vacuuming a floor, whether that's greeting at the door, whether that's helping the coffee shop, whether that's sitting in the ministry council, whether that is teaching in children's ministries, whether that is praying at the altar, whether that is, you can list 1,000 things that people do and help around this church and are a part of ministering and giving to the Lord. Every one of those things, we don't do it for the church. We don't do it for the pastor. We don't do it for the leader of the ministry. We don't do it because we get pats on the back. Because honestly, I've probably forgotten to pat you on the back. And I'm sorry about that. But we do it as unto the Lord. All things we do wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. 100% of everything we are, we do for the Lord as unto the Lord. Now, so that becomes the path to being able to do all things with cheerfulness. Because listen, I already admitted my failures. Sometimes we get to the place where we're doing something, and it's like nobody notices. I'm not doing very well. Nobody even appreciates what I'm doing. And cheerfulness starts ebbing. And I will say, if I'm the one that's at fault, if you were doing something and I was supposed to notice and I was supposed to say, you're doing so well and I love you and thank you so much, and I have fallen short, I'm sorry. But my encouragement is, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. With cheerfulness. Okay? Sometimes we get to the place where it's not that they don't appreciate what I'm doing, it's just they take it for granted that I keep doing and I keep doing, and all they keep doing is asking me for more. And we feel used. And it happens in the church as much as it happens anywhere else in life. But again, don't look to men. Don't look to value that you're receiving. Don't look to all that, but instead do all things as unto the Lord. That's the only path to be able to continue serving and doing and operating in whatever gift God has placed in your life, It's the only path to be able to doing that with cheerfulness is to recognize it is not for the applause of man. It's not for the appreciation of man. It's not because I want to be recognized or receive the Medal of Honor. It's not because of those things. It's because God is worthy. And I will do all things as unto the Lord with a cheerful heart. When I think about giving and the communion table sitting right in front of me, it's almost impossible not to think about Christ and the gift He gave us. And the way He literally gave His life for us. Not figuratively. We talk about taking up our cross. We talk about laying down our lives on the altar as living sacrifices. We talk about what is there greater love except that a man would lay down his life. We talk about, yes, I would do that, but 99.8%, well, I was going to say 99.9, but maybe it's 99.8. 99.8% of the time, for us, it's figurative. But for Jesus, it was literal. And He left heaven, and He lived His life for us. He lived always obedient to His Father. He lived performing miracle after miracle for those that were in need because of His love and compassion. He lived in order to die. And He died to pay the penalty of our sin. He didn't figuratively lay down His life. He literally laid down His life for us. And this is what we're talking about, that somehow we can let go of all those extraneous things. Let go of all those things that say, they don't appreciate it, so I'm not going to do it. They don't, they're just taking me for granted, so I'm just going to go a different way. That we get worked out up and we get worked out of the situation because we just forget that we're doing this for God. And He laid down His life for me. And I have already, because of my confession of faith, told Him that I would lay down my life for Him. And that's where we walk forward into this life. Those are going to help us with communion if you would come forward. And I would just encourage you as you would receive these elements that you think a bit about. What gift has God placed in me? And am I walking in love and using the gifts that God has given me in order to serve and to do and to be? And let God, by His Spirit, just speak to you, encourage you, and strengthen you. As always, if you could receive the elements and then wait for everybody to be served.
Surely my God. defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Surely my God, strength of my soul. Your love defends me.
Grace, the gift of God to us. And these symbols represent the love of Christ. This wafer means that we can be healed. Because the scripture says that by the stripes you received on your body, that we are healed. This cup representing the blood of Christ, it tells us that we are forgiven. Walk in life with the promise of eternity in front of us. We are family with each other and with God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift that you gave us as you laid your life down on the cross. That forgiveness, that healing. But Lord, we also thank you for the power to live, in that the same power that raised you from the dead is alive in us. We pray, Lord God, even now that we would have a fresh breath of your Spirit into us, and that faith would rise up in us, and we would be able to walk not only accepting your gift and the gifts that you give, but also, Lord, to be a vessel to reach out and to give gifts to others, that you would use us in that. Even as we prepare to take this communion together, Lord, I pray that healing would just flow across this auditorium. That those, God, that today need a healing touch, that they would experience it from your hand by the work that you did, by the blood of Christ. And Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would all walk in the freedom that you have purchased for them, because we are us. For you are, we are forgiven. Lord God, your Spirit is alive in us. And Lord, we pray that we would walk free from fear. Lord, that we would walk free from condemnation. And that instead, Lord, we would walk full of your grace, experiencing your mercy, surrounded by your love. We ask your blessing on this communion. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And let's drink the cup. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Would you join me in standing? Pass your cups to an aisle, please. And would you sing this chorus, we sing hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We sing hallelujah. You're my portion, my salvation. Hallelujah. You're my portion, my salvation.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You are my portion. You are the strength of my life, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would take all fear from us, Lord. That you would give us faith to allow the gifts that you've placed within us to be given freely to others. We may not have a lot, but what we have received from you, Lord, let us freely give. That not only this congregation, but this community would be transformed by the love of God through Christ Jesus, expressed by His church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer here at the altars, I would invite you to do that. May God go with us. May He add His blessing, and may He use us to build His kingdom. God bless you. And God be with you.